Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. It's Jeremy and Joe. Mace behind the glass, filling in for Brian today. Lots to get to. We were gonna start off a little Ravens-Lions, Monday Night Football, like real NFL football. Like, that's cool to watch, but at the same time depressing to watch. But a couple of hours ago, news coming out that C.J. Gardner-Johnson has been released by the Houston Texans. We were wondering who would be the first head to roll. We didn't think it'd be a player. We didn't think that it would be C.J. Gardner-Johnson. Nope. But C.J. Gardner-Johnson has gotten got. He is no longer a Houston Texan.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Look, this guy hasn't had the best track record, it seems, everywhere he's gone in Houston. I mean, across the NFL. And to see the Texans move on from him in a secondary that's already depleted in a way, and a secondary that could use someone of that skill set, is surprising. And it's why is the ultimate question now.
Yeah, I don't think it's surprising. I don't think it's surprising at all.
I just didn't think it would happen this soon. This felt like something that maybe happens going into next season. Or maybe later in this season, but three games and he's gone?
Well, I think we have the blueprint for this. Like, we have seen this, and we saw this semi-recently. We saw this last season in the playoffs. Deontay Johnson got brought in because the Texans had a need for receiver. They got him in a few snaps but didn't throw him the football. Deontay Johnson, after the Texans win a playoff game, is having to be, like, consoled in the locker room because he's so sad that he didn't get the football, demands a meeting with D'Amico. D'Amico's like, we just want a football game, man. We just want a playoff game, and you're crying about not getting the football. We'll see you later. D'Amico Ryans has laid down the law, rightfully so, with Deontay Johnson. And Aaron Wilson's been like the most to report on this so far. And the things that he is talking about, Aaron Wilson, click2houston.com, formerly of the Houston Chronicle, as we all know. Among the issues that arose with Gardner Johnson, per sources, criticism of teammates in the secondary. Okay, that's not ideal. Including the size of one player's contract.
That's crazy.
He was getting into a teammate's wallet, into their financial information. Also complaints about his role, including a desire to blitz more frequently. He had already made a trade request. I imagine the Texans probably did try to trade him before releasing him. Couldn't find a suitor. So this isn't surprising to me at all. And I also applaud D'Amico Ryans for it. Like, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, I think he's a fine player. He's obviously a starter in the NFL. Yes, he won a Super Bowl with Philadelphia. I think he's never been as good a player as he was back in his days when you Orleans, but this is a guy who's kind of a bridge safety for you. This is not a franchise pillar. This isn't C.J. Stroud, depending on where you're at with C.J. Stroud today. This isn't Will Anderson. This isn't Derek Stingley. I'm not the biggest fan of Jalen Petrie, the player, but he's been okay. He's been fine. He's a pillar of this organization. They believe in his culture. They locked him up. C.J. Gardner-Johnson was a mercenary. Like, he's a guy that you got for Kenyon Green, for goodness sakes, so let's go ahead and put some value to that. Like, you didn't, it's low risk, some reward, I guess, obviously not high reward. So you traded nothing for him. You brought him in to fill a position until you could replace him relatively soon. Now, the Texans are going to eat some money with this, with the cap penalty and then actually some cash penalties for the next 2 years, which is a little frustrating whenever you look at it from that point of view, because he's actually going to hinder you a little bit with your salary cap high. But I applaud this. I like this with DeMeco Ryans a lot. I think it's important for the culture, and I know immediately when I say that. You mean 0-3 culture? That's not a culture. It's a poor. It's a losing culture. Let's not ignore the fact that DeMeco Ryans won 20 games plus two more playoff games, taking over for a franchise that had won 11 combined games in 3 years. A player is never more important than the culture a coach is putting into place. I also don't think a win-loss record defines your culture. If everybody got hurt and you had an excellent culture, you expect them to go 17-0, let's not be ridiculous. So I applaud DeMeco Ryans. Whenever you're 0-3, you're going to have a lot of things kind of pestering that are trying to bring down that culture. You would hope it's not a player that you brought into the offseason. It is a player that you brought into the offseason. Talking about another player's contract?
That's crazy.
What are we doing here, CJ Gardner-Johnson?
Yeah, look.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out. I applaud this move for DeMeco Ryans. Quite frankly, this is the best thing that's happened for the Texans in 2025.
Well, look, and this is, and you mentioned Deontay Johnson, but this is also why Laramie Tunsil got traded. If you're not a fit, you're not a fit, and you're not going to be a part of this team. And I think the part of going after a player's contract and whoever it is, saying that that player is overvalued at what they've been given, I think we can make some assumptions here because only a couple players in the secondary have gotten paid recently. But it's to do that, that player's got to go. It doesn't matter if you're 0-3, if you're 3-0. If it's a problem, it's a problem. If the Texans were 3-0 and he was barking at people about contracts and blitzing more, then he's not a fit for this team. And frankly, even though I don't necessarily agree with this, because I don't think Jimmy Ward's a very good player, I think we also have to factor that in, that he was taken off the commissioner's exempt list yesterday. Now, he was put on the pup list by the Texans, but that also means that they think Jimmy Ward's going to be returning.
No, I think it's unrelated.
At some point.
I think it's completely unrelated.
You think it's totally unrelated?
Yeah. If Jimmy Ward was not taken off the commissioner's exempt list yesterday, do I think that CJ Gardner-Johnson gets released today? 100%. I think they're two totally different things. Now, it's beneficial that Jimmy Ward's coming back because it does all of a sudden create a position at safety that you're going to need to fill. Aaron Wilson says Eric Murray's going to get the first crack. But also, what if Jimmy Ward doesn't come back for another month? Mm-hmm. Like, totally unrelated for me.
And the other thing, too, is I don't know if you watch DJ Bieniemy's breakdown that he put out there on social media where it's the play where Brian Thomas Jr. is wide open in the end zone. You see Kamari Lassiter kind of rolling out and throwing his hands up in the air.
The deep drag.
Because clearly there's a miscommunication there. And so it's, is he playing for himself? Does he understand what is being asked of him on the defense? So it's not just about culture and fit and calling out a player's contract and things like that. If you're also just not playing well.
See, I disagree with that too.
Why?
Like, because it's a busted coverage. You're not releasing a guy for a busted coverage.
But I think it adds on to everything, right?
I mean, it doesn't help, obviously. But if he doesn't bust there, does he still get released today? 100% yes.
But see, I'm also imagining that there's a conversation being held about that busted coverage. And then based on what Aaron Wilson's saying, that conversation not going very well.
Of their
being critical of him and what he's doing. And he's, you know, fighting back about what the Texans are doing in the secondary, and it adds into it. So that's why I just kind of look at it as a general issue for him, and that's why he's not here. It's the right move to make. Like, and it doesn't matter if you're 0-3. If a guy doesn't fit, he doesn't fit. You just get rid of him. It doesn't cost you anything. It does hinder you a little bit. It's what, $5 million next year? That's a pretty low-level contract. You can get a lot of guys for $5 million. You can also find guys for cheaper. So they can, you know, it's not going to hinder them in terms of adding a valuable asset to this defense. So this is the right move. If he doesn't fit, then get rid of him.
No, I applaud DeMeco for doing this. Because when you're 0-3, a lot of people are going to be trying to tear down the foundation of what you built. And even if DeMeco Ryans is building something that's not good, he's the head coach and should be doing it his way. And you're not going to let a safety that's, you know, above average for NFL standards, maybe, you're not going to let that guy be a potential problem that tears down the culture, that tears down the locker room. Whenever you're 0-3, you have to fight and defend the culture that you built. Todd, the show saying, what is the Texans culture? Well, they believe in swarm, smart work ethic, and relentless mindset. But, I mean, I think you would be foolish, head in the sand, if you don't see what DeMeco Ryans has built. Like, it's a team that plays very, very physical. They're not always disciplined because they have a lot of penalties. They don't believe in offensive football. Like, they don't believe in the forward pass.
They don't.
Like, they don't believe in a whole lot of moving the ball forward.
They don't believe in running the ball.
But it's like dudes that are going to, like, it's guys that are going to play hard, that are going to be physical, that you hope are reliable most of the time. And sometimes you're not going to have a player that does all of that. And I think they knew that with C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I think C.J. Gardner-Johnson was a flyer that we're getting for a player that we're going to cut. Let's see how it goes. Low risk, some reward. It didn't work. And look, they lost three games with him. They lost three in a row with him. You don't think they can lose three in a row without him? Without potentially ruining the locker room? He's talking about another man's money. Another man's money. And people are defending C.J. Gardner-Johnson right now? How could you possibly be defending C.J. Gardner-Johnson when he's questioning somebody else's contract? Now, look, I also question Jalen Petrie's contract, but I'm not in the locker room.
That's our job.
That's not in the if I were in the locker room, I would not be questioning Jalen Petrie's contract. This is C.J. Gardner-Johnson being stupid. This is him trying to derail the football team. And D'Amico Ryan said, this is my football team, for better or worse. We're doing things my way, for better or worse, and I applaud it. I applaud D'Amico releasing C.J. Gardner-Johnson in the same fashion and similar vein that he released Deontay Johnson. Showed some cojones, even though he's 0-3, and I love it.
DJ Bieniemy just put out a piece on ESPN.com, too, where he points out it's not just the one play versus the Jags.
Of course there's it's also not. It's a bust.
There's also a play in Tampa Bay where he guards the wrong player, and also a play against the Rams in which he guards the wrong player.
So, okay, so if he's going in business for himself and be like, I'm just going to do this.
Yeah, so it adds to all of it. It's not just, again, it's not just the money part. If you're also not doing your responsibility and then you're also a headache, you can be a headache if you're a good football player. We see it all the time in the NFL. Players are headaches. Players are problems. Players, teams deal with it. But when the play slips, it doesn't matter. It's always been like that, whether it's a serious issue or a non-serious issue. When you're no longer good at your job, teams don't care anymore. If he can't do his job, they're not going to deal with this. Honestly, even if he was and you're calling out a player for how much money they're making, you probably don't want that guy in there anyways.
No, it's the right decision. This is a no-brainer. Like, I just do not understand how people are defending C.J. Gardner-Johnson today. I don't understand. And look, we're super critical of the Houston Texans. I like D'Amico. I'm still super critical of D'Amico. Super critical of what the Houston Texans have put on film in the first 3 weeks. Their offense looks like the worst offense in the NFL. I fell asleep last night watching the Titans and the Colts in week 3. The Titans are atrocious. The Titans' offense is abysmal. They moved on from Callahan calling plays. They're going to their quarterback's coach. It's going to be a pillow fight at NRG when the Texans and the Titans face off, because the Texans and the Titans are the top two worst offenses in the NFL. That might be hypocritical. Top two worst offenses. Bottom two worst offenses in the NFL. It's going to be terrible. But you don't have players in there questioning the money that somebody else is making. This was inevitable. I'm also very curious to see how C.J. Gardner-Johnson handles this on his socials.
Oh, I can't wait.
Because he's going to spill the beans.
I think it's going to be can't miss.
Oh, yeah.
Podcast appearance.
Do you think he'll call him a name of a candy like Steven Nelson called him?
I think it's on the table.
Will he be more derogatory than what Steven Nelson called him whenever he had his beef with D'Amico?
I'm gonna guess yes.
Probably.
But I think Milk Dud does come up.
What's more derogatory of a candy to call him, though? Or does it not have to be a candy?
I mean, milk duds are pretty terrible.
Junior Mint?
No, I think it's more the appearance than the actual taste.
Oh, okay.
I think. Because he's talking about his appearance looking like
a milk dud.
A candy.
Yes.
So I think it's more about the appearance than it is about the taste of the candy. So like an Almond Joy wouldn't be great. Mm. Like that would be kind of a milk dud on top of like a rectangle, I think.
Okay. Okay.
Right?
You don't like Almond Joys?
Yeah,
it's not flavor. Okay. It's about the appearance. Okay. There's nothing to do with flavor. What does a Baby Ruth bar look like?
It looks like a turd.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That would be very derogatory.
Yeah, that's the one you drop at the toilet to pull a prank on someone.
Yeah.
So, like, that might be the most insult. Like, if I'm thinking of a Houston sports athlete that most looked like a Baby Ruth bar, I'm probably going Ezekiel Estacio. What's so funny?
That's mean.
It's look, I don't really care about niceness and meanness. I'm more about facts and inaccuracy.
Culture
facts
over here.
Ezekiel Estacio in the history of Houston sports has looked more like a Baby Ruth than any other Houston sports athlete of all time.
Okay.
Do you remember Ezekiel Estacio?
No, I don't, but I'm going to look him up to figure it out.
It looked like he had dry roasted peanuts all over his face. Rich caramel. Chewy, was it nougat? Is that how you say that word? Nougat? Nougat's pretty good. Are you looking up Ezekiel Estacio right now, Mace?
Yep.
How accurate was that?
It's pretty
accurate. It might be the most accurate thing I've ever seen.
I will say, I think it's kind of mean. I know you don't care about feelings, but I think that's the meanest thing I've heard you say.
Sometimes the facts hurt.
In the 2.5 weeks we've done the show.
Sometimes the facts hurt.
The facts are the facts.
Find me another Houston sports athlete who looks like a Baby Ruth more than Ezekiel Estacio. You can't do it. Can do it, won't do it. All right, 713-780-3776. If you want to weigh in on this, you can. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. We're going to get to the Ravens-Lions at some point. Actual real football. How was that to watch after you've watched this offensive ineptitude from the Houston Texans in the last 3 weeks? What is the plan, too, now that C.J. Gardner-Johnson is no longer a Houston Texan? Plenty to get to. Who are the Super Bowl contenders in the NFL? I watch film today, posturing, doing all that. Things that stood out to me. Also, just how bad this Texans offense is. Sometimes I like to dive into the numbers, as y'all know. I dove into the numbers here a little bit, and you're not going to like what I heard. Also, the Astros begin the final week of the regular season, and a lot is on the line. How much faith do you have in the Astros? We'll talk about that. Plenty more to get to. 713-780-3776. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on TikTok at ESPN 975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham. We're on Twitter at ESPN 975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 975 and ESPN 925.
Hey, Houston, the Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Walmart has more than a half a billion items online. You can find a huge selection of items online that you can't find in store. And who knew that unlike other grocery stores, Walmart's grocery prices are the same for delivery as they are in the store. It's the worst when you order some kind of food or something or whatever you order and there's some kind of upcharge on it. You don't have to worry about that when you order your groceries from Walmart online. And did you know Walmart can deliver in as fast as an hour? Fees and terms apply. Use Express Delivery to get all the eligible things you need from Walmart, from groceries to home goods to prescriptions, subject to availability. Learn more at walmart.com.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
I'm Jeremy, he's Joe. It's Jeremy and Joe. 713-780-3776. I don't know what kind of candy bar he is, but Sam Cassell is no way human. Yeah, we probably shouldn't just be getting in the habit of calling dudes candy bars.
Probably not.
I don't want to go the Steven Nelson route.
But I do think that we are going to get that from C.J. Gardner-Johnson. I think he's going to drop a little something for us.
I wonder if he blasts Petrie. I mean, it's very clearly that's who he's talking about with the defensive player's contract,
right? Yeah, he's not talking about Stingley.
Not talking about Stingley. It's- he wanted to blitz more. He wanted to play in the box more. He wanted Jalen Petrie's position. He's saying, I'm better than Jalen Petrie, and Petrie's making that much money, and I'm making this much money. I mean, it's very clearly Jalen Petrie.
Yeah.
I think we can deduce that.
I think it's fairly obvious. If it's not, I have more questions about C.J. Gardner-Johnson than if he's calling out Stingley's contract.
Or he's calling out, like, Lassiter, who's on a rookie contract.
Yeah.
Or Bullock, who's on a rookie. How dare that guy be on a rookie scale?
Yeah.
Like, it can't be that.
It's the only option that you have is C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
Texter or junkie that's texting in, work on discipline before we start talking about culture. That's fair. Like, that's a fair point. But a culture isn't necessarily look, I come from, like, the greatest culture in sports. It's not pro sports. Kelvin Sampson's culture at University of Houston is impeccable. It's fantastic. What would Kelvin Sampson do if his best player broke his culture? He would say, see ya. Goodbye. We'll be just fine without you. In fact, it's happened multiple times, and they've always been just fine. Like, the win-loss record to me does not define the culture. You could have an impeccable, best culture in the sport. You're not going to win every game because of culture. You still need all the other stuff, but culture matters. It's sustainable. It matters for a long time. Texans could go 5-12 this year, but because they have strong culture, bounce back next season when the AFC South back-to-back season.
It's also because there's essentially, like, two football teams here. You have an offense, which I don't know what the offensive culture is. I mean, that's why they moved on from Laremy Tunsil. There is an identity, a culture, a way of playing style on the defense. Like there is something to on D'Amico's team. The defense does fit to a different level of standard than the offense. So that's why if this was an offensive player, I'd be a little more surprised. But if you don't fit on D'Amico's defense, you're going to fit out.
I mean, it happened with Deontay Johnson too, though.
Yeah, I mean, he was crying about not getting the ball in the playoffs. He's not a good player.
It's kind of similar, except it's not the ball. C.J. Gardner-Johnson was crying about where he was on the football field.
Yeah.
The lack of him blitzing. Like, it's pretty similar, except it's different positions.
And Laremy was complaining about not practicing.
See, I think Laremy was a lot more about, okay, we can still get a second rounder for you. You're going to want a new contract really soon. we have one of the worst offensive lines with you. Like, should we trade you before you demand a new contract? Well, our offensive line is bad while you still have value. Mm-hmm. I think that one was a little different.
It probably is, but I think it's just still to the bigger picture of the Houston Texans. That culture does matter a lot to them. Mm-hmm. That's where I think, like, it's weird to have these conversations when you start 0-3.
Right.
Because people don't, they're like, what culture?
They're like, it's a losing culture because you're 0-3.
Yeah. Like, but that's not, it's not the reality. Like, it's specific on the defense. Look what they've done these three games. They're not the reason why the Texans are 0-3. They've had some bad moments. They can't tackle. But, like, they're not the reason for this. So, D'Amico has to run his team the way he wants. And, again, I'll go back to, if he was a good player, it wouldn't matter. Like, if maybe on these mistakes he's making in these three games and they were interceptions instead of totally blown coverages, then maybe it doesn't matter as much. But when you're not playing good and you're calling out a player's contract, you're not going to be on this team. Mm-hmm. Honestly, the contract thing, I don't know if that works on any team.
No.
Like, I don't know if that works anywhere. If someone was in Miami and calling out Tyreek Hill's contract because he's not producing down the field, would that player still be on the team? No, they'd be cut unless it was Jalen Waddle.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not something that happens.
It's a cardinal rule that you don't do that.
Yeah. In all sports.
In all of facets of life.
Yes.
I'm not, hey, Mapes, how much you make? Like, Mapes is overpaid. We shouldn't pay Mapes.
Yeah,
like,
give that money to
that's
Ryan.
A fireable yeah. offense. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I think that HRP. Especially when you're the guy who's making, what, $7 million this year, and it'll only cost the team $5 million a dead cap to get rid of you, as opposed to the guy they just signed. Like, he is operating from the position of we. It's not even like the Michael Jordan right. bullying Scotty Burrell, yeah. being like, you shouldn't be on this team. No, it's the opposite. It's like if Scotty Burrell was like,
it's Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
guy.
Why is Pippen making so
He's
much?
He's got no leverage. No leverage at all. It's so weird. Should the Texans look at Mike Gundy for OC if they continue to struggle and make a move for next season, 409 Josh?
No.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No. Now, if they need somebody to come in to, like, because they need a mullet, okay, let's see what Gundy's up to. But to call your offensive plays, the idea you want is Mike Gundy? Come on.
No, he can work the grill with Cal, I think. I think that's yeah. his role.
I think that's
watch some conservative television. Like that's his thing for sure.
Maybe that's just where we're at, though, with how bad the Texans' offense is that people are. Mike Gundy would be better.
He might be.
We are close to no bad ideas, but we're not quite to Mike Gundy, offensive coordinator.
Gundy's going to be on TV like next week. Maybe this weekend. He might be on TV this weekend. Is Gardner Johnson the sacrificial lamb for a terrible start of a season? No, I don't think he is. I don't think he's the sacrificial lamb for the start of the season. I think he's a sacrificial lamb at doing things that are unacceptable to a locker room. If he wasn't doing those things, and I still think if he had the busted coverage in all those games, I still don't think he gets cut. Because those are things like, oh, it's on the football field. If the effort's there, we'll work with you, all of that. Now, if he's just going into business for himself, and then all of these other things in the locker room, you're gone. It has nothing to do with them being 0-3. If they were 3-0, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson was doing the same exact stuff, they'd say, see you later. So long. Eric Murray, get the helmet on. Which is a little worrisome.
Yeah, can't wait for Eric Murray.
Yeah. I mean, I'm already to the point, though, where I'm wanting them to go 5-12. Like, I have very little faith that they can turn this around because I see this offense and how bad it is. Like, comical. They can't get an end around right.
No, I mean, they can't do anything. They're last in virtually every category you'd want to be in the NFL. They're last in red zone attempts and conversion because they're 0-4, which is pathetic. Three games in the season, 4 red zone attempts. They're last in first downs. They're last in third down conversion. They're last in points. They're awful at everything.
Texans are soft, says a texter. I think they're soft in some areas. I don't think they're universally soft. Like, their defense is good. They're number 5 in the NFL in points allowed. Like, they're fine defensively.
That's why, to me, he's not a sacrificial lamb, because why would the first head on a spike be on the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. If you're going to have a patsy, a sacrificial lamb, hey, see, we're doing something. We're urgent. It'd be changing someone on the offensive line. Yeah. Changing.
Or Kaley.
Or, yeah, firing Nick Kaley.
Hey, you're demoted. You're not going to call plays
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, going full on to Woody Marks. Like, Woody Marks and the Iowa State rookies. Like, that's what would be the, like, we're taking things seriously. Yeah. We're changing things. It wouldn't be cutting a safety you traded for a NFL washout.
No. Like also, Damian Pierce would have been more of a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's not playing. So
he's healthy scratches.
I mean, also, if anyone's defending C.J. Gardner-Johnson or calling the Texans soft because of moving on from him, the Eagles just won a Super Bowl and they got rid of him as soon as they possibly could. Like they didn't think, like, this guy is a valuable piece to our defense. They moved on from him immediately for a guy that they've literally waived four times.
Yeah.
Because Kenyon Green just got waived again yesterday.
Texter, Junkie texting in, should we be worried about Stroud wanting out soon? So.
Should we be worried if he wants out?
No. That's where I'm at with this. And look, I'm still pro Stroud. We all know this. Like, I still believe in C.J. Stroud's potential. He's not playing at his potential for a lot of reasons. Some of them aren't even, like, his fault. Like, we'll get to it a little bit later. But I'm to the point where I'm ready. If C.J. Stroud's going to demand money, like, I'm ready to call his bluff. Like, the Ravens did it with Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. The Ravens called Lamar Jackson's bluff and like, okay, well, we're gonna make you play your fourth year without giving you an extension. Fifth year rookie option. I think they even tagged him once. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, remember he was a free agent.
Did they tag him once or twice?
Yeah, he had like that weird like, I don't know what the tag is, but where
transitional tag.
Yeah, someone would basically give up their next two first round picks to. Like match an offer or something. Mm-hmm. It was something weird like that, and every team tripped over themselves, say, we're not interested.
There was some thought that there was collusion in the NFL that year, too, where they didn't want to go that crazy, which probably was true. Ownership collusion with that.
The Atlanta Falcons couldn't have used it.
Yeah, they're like, no thanks.
Yeah, I actually do believe that the NFL owners colluded against Lamar Jackson. Yeah. I 100% believe that.
The team that nearly gave Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed contract and the Atlanta Falcons didn't want Lamar Jackson because of two first-round picks. Okay.
We're good with Desmond Ridder and then Kirk Cousins.
You don't want to pay him more than $25 million a year. It's not worth it.
There is one difference though between like Lamar's situation and CJ's is, well, one, you're dealing with Lamar Jackson's mother, and one, you're dealing with David Luketta.
Right, for sure. But I'm calling the bluff. Like if this offseason, CJ Stroud's like, give me $60 million. If everything is equal, like if he's still playing at this level, the offense is still tragic and bad. If they're like, hey, $60 million, we're going to demand a trade. Give me the offers. Let's see what they look like, David Mulligetta.
Yeah,
I got to that point.
That's what I was going to say. The difference is that you're negotiating with Lamar Jackson's mom versus David Mulligetta. It's also the quarterback in question is Lamar Jackson versus C.J. Stroud. Like that. Yeah. That's the difference. That's why when the texter asked, should we be worried if he demands a trade, my first reaction is like, should we be worried if he wants out? Like, is he so good that you're terrified if he wants out?
Yeah, because I don't think you're going to get an offer that would satisfy you. Like, if Stafford retires, which I think is what everyone's assuming here, is that CJ wants to go home, right, go back to L.A. If Stafford were to retire, are the Rams going to offer you three first-round picks, two first-round picks for CJ Stroud with the way he's playing right now?
No, but I still think the price would be good. Like, I think that you, not that you would be, like, loving the return, but I don't think it's a fifth rounder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's still a talented quarterback that has top 10 potential talent, not playing to that level. Don't twist the words. So, that's where I'm at with CJ. Like, and again, there's a lot of time between now and then, how things will change. We'll see. Like, they're still going to play 14 more games, so definitely premature having these conversations. But if everything remains the same, they're still bad offensively. He still doesn't look good. And they're demanding money at the end of this offseason going into next year. No, we're not doing it.
Yep.
Either you play on your contract your fourth year, which they'll pick up his fifth year option, and then we'll talk again next offseason. Or if they demand the trade, okay, see ya. Like, see ya. You might have a top five pick. Mm-hmm. Like, you can replace him like that. Like, and look, and I'm not anti-Stroud. Like, I still believe in C.J. Stroud. I think the organization has failed C.J. Stroud. But I can't be getting that kind of production from the position, which a lot of variables produce that position or help that position, and pay it. Yeah. I can't pay it more than $50 million.
Yeah,
I just can't do it.
I was going to say, do you think that and I know they beat the Texans on Sunday, but you think the Jags are sitting there being like, thank God we paid Trevor Lawrence. Like, thank God we gave him 55. Do you think the Dolphins are like, man, thank God we got Tua. We got that deal done. We said yes to 50-something million dollars per year for him. No, they would prefer not to be in that position. They are basically handcuffed to these guys for an extra year or two than they want to. And right now you run that risk because – C.J. Stroud, the way he's playing right now, like Jeremy's being very clear, and I want to be very clear right now. The way he's playing right now, he's not a guy that you're like, oh my God, where would this team be without him?
No. Yeah, I think you can. I mean, if he demands a trade this offseason because you don't pay him right away, then I agree with you, Jeremy. Call his bluff. Like, see what happens. I don't know, though, if while that might be the right approach for Nick Caserio to do that, I don't know if the McNairs would view it that way because of what this –
they're usually pretty hands-off with the roster.
Yeah, I just – to see what happened with Deshaun, and even though it worked out for the Texans, I just wonder, would they even be willing to enter the conversation of a quarterback demanding a trade yet again from this franchise?
I don't think they would be relevant in the conversation. I think that they would, hey, whoever's the GM, you do your thing. Go be football. Like, I don't think they would.
Normally, I agree with you. I just think when it comes to the quarterback position, it's different.
If he's playing at a bottom five production in the NFL, they're going to be like, no, pay him. Like, well, no.
I mean, we don't think Cal was like exactly the most brilliant football
It would definitely be Hannah. It would be Hannah.
Yeah.
I mean, Cal's not going to say anything. Like, Hannah, good. Hannah, I wouldn't put it past Hannah. Cal, no. Hannah, maybe. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Nick, you're in with the Junkies. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? Real quick on the culture concept here. Look, it sounds like it's all kind of defensive-driven, and then D'Amico's our head coach, and obviously he leans defense. But it feels like from the offensive side, what's our offensive culture? It's very mind-boggling to me that, I don't know, there's some things that I've seen with CJ from the early, like, rookie year. I was like, whoa, this guy's going to ball out. He's going to be good. And then I'm looking at some of the body language. Granted, like, look, he's not getting pass protected or whatnot. But at the end of the day, like, what's the offensive culture? And, you know, where's the accountability on that side to bring this team together? I'll listen to what you guys have to say.
Appreciate that, Nick. Let's hit that on the other side. What is the Texans' offensive identity? What is their offensive culture? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Football is back, and we all love football, right? We all love football, but Underdog is the place to make picks and win money all season long. Playing Underdog is so easy. Pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, yards, interceptions, and much, much more. Also new to Underdog, you can pick teams. Yeah, that's right. You can pick whether or not your team will win or lose. Get your pick right, and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. And you can play with as little as just $1. You can play some baseball, too. How about some Major League Baseball picks? The Astros are in Sacramento tonight. Do you like some of that? Thursday night football, not too early. Look ahead to that matchup. Seattle and Arizona, couple of the early picks for you. How about JSN, 80.5 receiving yards? You like the higher or lower there? He's been on a heater. Kyler Murray with no James Conner. How about his rush yards, 29.5? Higher or lower there? Plus, it's always good to get in early in the week because that's when you can find a pick that you like. Marvin Harrison, he's getting slandered a little bit right now. 49.5 receiving yards. You higher or lower on Marvin Harrison? That's just a small sample of what you can play on Thursday. It's just a small sample of sports that you can get your picks in on as well. Astros, A's tonight. We'll look at that a little bit later. So much to play, so much fun to be had, and so much money to win. You still have your original with Underdog as well. You still have your drafts, which are still fun to do even in season. You still have your streaks, which get hot, get on a heater, win a lot. Or the ladders. Ladders are a lot of fun as well. So download the app today. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks, win money.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Excuse me, I'm arguing with people on Twitter. 713-780-ESPN. He's Joe, I'm Jeremy. Jeremy and Joe, you're a junkie if you listen to us. It's a compliment. 713-780-3776. Isn't there a drop where David Culley says he's a junkie?
I,
I think the Wheelhouse might have used it. Do you remember that Mapes at all? I think they're usually like, I'm Cully and I'm a junkie or something like that.
I
tried to find it on the internet. I couldn't find it.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
You don't remember that?
The Cully days were tough and a long time.
They were very tough.
Very tough. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line, 713-780-ESPN. Javier, what's up? You're in the junkyard.
Hey, guys. Listening a long time. Thanks for taking my call. So, I don't know if y'all remember me too much, but I've been saying this since I've been listening to y'all for like the last like 3 years. But when are the Texans going to wake up and seriously in the draft pick up some offensive line? You see all the greats doing the Buffalo Bills putting together a great offensive line. You see Philly with the best offensive line of football. Even Detroit with the best offensive line. And I've been saying it and saying it and saying it. Y'all guys kind of push back on me a little bit, but I'm hoping y'all finally agree with me that this year, if we have a horrible season and do not go where we need to go, that we have to, at least in the first round and in the second round, pick up some offensive linemen, because what we're doing the last 3 years has not been working to protect our boy, and I'm afraid he's going to turn into David Carr with the amount of sacks he's taken this year. I'll let you take it from here, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, the Texans have to address the offensive line, but they also could address it by just developing players. Like, the Eagles is an interesting one to point out. You have a guy who never played football before as one of the best left tackles in the NFL now in Jordan Mailata. Like, you have guys that are not high draft picks. I mean, Jason Kelsey was an undersized player that Andy Reid brought in and was also there forever. These teams, they develop talent. I mean, the Lions have a rookie who graded out incredibly well this weekend, like the highest graded rookie in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus, was one of their offensive linemen. But they're also just developing guys. The Texans have tried. They failed. I mean, Kenyon Green is a huge bust.
Yeah.
So they've tried to address it, but they've just done it poorly.
See, that's where I'm at. It's like, it's not for a lack of trying. I think it's actually worse. I think it's worse because they can't identify the talent and then they can't develop the talent. And that's far worse than, like, ignoring it. Because if you ignore it, it's like, well, you know, they're just ignoring it. We don't know they're bad at it. What's that old saying? Like, it's better to remain silent than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. No, it's better to be quiet and thought of as dumb than to open your mouth and remove all doubt, right? So it's kind of what Caserio has done. Like, Caserio, by drafting offensive linemen early and missing on offensive linemen early, he has removed the doubt that he's dumb. If he didn't draft the offensive lineman, we would just think he was dumb. Mm-hmm. But he's proven to us he's dumb when it comes to the offensive line, because they have swung and missed on Kenyon Green, which, remember, Kenyon Green, you traded down, could have drafted Kyle Hamilton in that spot, or worse, like, what if you draft Linderbaum, who was drafted later in that first round? Zion Johnson, who's with the Chargers, he was drafted later in the first round. The Cowboys drafted an offensive lineman there. So it's worse than ignoring offensive line, because they haven't ignored offensive line. They've missed. They missed with Blake Fisher. Mm-hmm. Juice Scruggs probably is going to start at left guard this week. I think he has beat Laken Tomlinson in that little, like, they were changing series. They were alternating series, and he looked better. So I think Juice Scruggs can get back into that lineup. But not a bona fide starter for you was in the second round. You drafted Blake Fisher in the second round, who was a healthy and active. Mm-hmm. A healthy and active. So they've drafted first-rounders that you traded for C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who you released today. You've drafted second-rounders that are either not playing or having to beat out Laken Tomlinson for a job, healthy and active. Tay Ursary, you're starting at left tackle, probably force-feeding us Tay Ursary at left tackle. He was terrible in that game. The free agent acquisition you had was Cam for $12 million, and he's sitting behind a rookie that's worse than him. Mm-hmm. So it's not so much that they've ignored the position. It's more that they've actually paid attention to the position, but they've whiffed. So it's even worse.
I mean, like, Shaq Mason was good for a year for Nick Caserio.
He was good that first year.
He was good that first year, but like, they've first round, second round, third round, fourth round. They have brought in guys in the draft in every of those top four rounds where you expect to hit on some of these guys. They don't all have to hit, but you would think between the second, third, and fourth rounders going up all the way up to Jared Patterson, that at least one or two of these guys would be. I mean, Laken Tomlinson was one of the worst guards in the NFL last year, and you brought him in because you assumed he was going to be an upgrade.
He was your left guard fixture and, like, one of the dogs on the offensive line. Like, yeah. He was, like, the voice, like, the mentality. Like, That's the bigger fear, is not that they've ignored it, because they haven't. They haven't ignored it. They drafted a dude in the first. They drafted three guys in the second. They've signed a dude for $12 million. The problem isn't that they ignored it. The problem is they can't evaluate it to save their lives, and then they can't develop it on top of that.
Yeah, like the draft is kind of a crapshoot for the most part. There's some teams that are better at it than others, and Caserio has his hits on other parts of the football field. But, like, you almost can't – like, there's not a hit. There's not a single, like, you feel good about this draft pick where he was drafted guy on the offensive line.
You're
under
hoping
Caserio.
It's Ursary, but that's got a lot long way to go. It's
three games.
Maybe and Patterson is a six-rounder, but it's your backup center. Like, I mean, that's good, right? Like, you draft the backup center in the sixth round, that's probably a win.
That's fine.
But that's your best win. It shouldn't be your best win.
It's such a low bar.
Titus Howard's still the best recent draft pick of a Houston Texan on the offensive line, and he's not a recent draft pick.
Yeah, it wasn't yours.
It wasn't yours. And he was Bill O'Brien's. Mm-hmm.
They've just whiffed and whiffed and whiffed. That's the bigger concern. 713-780-ESPN. I got sidetracked there, and we didn't give the Texans offensive identity. We'll get to the Texans offensive identity. More on Stroud. Your calls as well. 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
St. Arnold, the beer for everyone. Their beer garden is a place for everyone and for private events. They've got a space for everyone, whether it's weddings, family reunions, big birthday bashes, company hour, trade shows, corporate meetings, whatever you want there, they've got spaces for groups from 20 people all the way up to 300. For smaller groups, they have the Investors Pub. We got a tour of it. It was really cool. It's a nice little back area. It was back there behind the beer hall. So, and plus the beer garden as well. So you can have it in the private events area, but you can also just celebrate your party out in the beer garden. They have full audio-visual capabilities, projector screens, all of that stuff. Joseph was fantastic in terms of helping get everything set up and organized for the ESPN listener party. And since you're a listener to this fine station, mention ESPN or my name Joe, and you can receive their brewery game package free for your event. The game package gets you a combo of dartboards, Jenga, cornhole, pool table, and as a bonus, the photo booth. Get started now at StArnold.com. Click on private events. That's StArnold.com. Click on private events.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Oh, it's been frustrating, hasn't it? First few weeks for your favorite pro team, or maybe you're happy about your favorite pro team if you root for somebody else. You can either escape your sorrow or enhance your happiness at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Escape the rat race for the weekend or enjoy more of what's making you happy. Maybe it's the hustle and bustle of the job that's causing you stress and anxiety. Well, get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston and forget all of your troubles. Escape the city and enjoy the relaxing great outdoors from the open green spaces, wildlife you don't see in the city. About to get a little bit cooler, too, so maybe you see even a little bit more wildlife. Beautiful, majestic trees and some of the best fishing in Texas. They got the two creeks right alongside their property. They got the big catch and release pond right in the middle of the property, which is really great for the kiddos. Hike on their 92 acres of property if that's your thing, hiking and exploring. Do some kayaking on their creeks. They have pickleball courts out there, too, if you're still into pickleball. Or about just hanging out by the pool with a drink. That's cool, too. And it's only 90 minutes from Houston. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. From the glamping to the cabins, treehouses. Branham family stayed in the treehouse. We absolutely loved it. We need to get back up there soon, too. Pull up the RV if you have one of those suckers. They have the perfect stay for everybody. And right now, you can get 20% off your stay through October. And, of course, Two Creeks Crossing Resort always taking care of their visitors. They have Thirsty Thursday every Thursday, Frozen Fridays every Friday. This week, for instance, a fajitas and Ritas contest. That sounds like a great time. Saturday, they got great stuff for the kiddos, kids craft, kids activity. They got bingo for you. Kenny Cooper is going to be out there playing some live music. And of course, it's Texas. It's football. They're going to have college football at Swampers on just for you. So book that stay now. Get 20% off through October. Head to twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
Now back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Jeremy Branham and Joe George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, what do you think the Texans' offensive identity, their offensive culture is? See, I think the culture for the full team is responsible, you do your job, like all the old Patriot stuff. You're tough, you're physical, all of those things. I look at the offense more as like an identity, and I do think they've had a difficult time establishing an identity because I think Nick Cayley-Weiss is way in over his head. What do you think their offensive identity is?
Being bad. I don't know. What identity do they have?
They don't have one.
They don't throw the ball downfield. They don't run the ball consistently. They don't throw short passes. They don't convert third downs. They don't convert first downs. I don't know what they're trying to accomplish. You watch the game, and it feels like just an offense as a unit, from the play caller to the quarterback to the offensive line, that is lost. I think their identity is to try to run the ball, to have play action, to then throw the ball down the field. I think that's what they would like to accomplish. But they can't do it.
Yeah. I mean, they were running play action before they ever established a run against Jacksonville. And they threw it 38 times and ran it 19 times when the running game was actually doing okay. Like, you averaged 4.5 yards per carry, and you ran it twice as less often as you threw it. I don't think that they have an offensive identity. They might be given one by everybody, like you mentioned, incompetent, bad, all of those. But I don't think that they've established any sort of offensive identity, which sometimes I think that stuff is overrated. Like, who's the best offense in the NFL right now? Like Buffalo? Like, what's their identity? Oh, it's Josh Allen. Like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, sweet. Like, that's not really an identity.
Yeah.
That's the players defining it for you.
Yeah. I mean, I think identity is open to interpretation of just whatever.
You know what identity is? Whenever you're a good offense, you have a good one. And whenever you have a bad offense, you have a bad one. That's what identity is, one of those football buzzwords of like, oh, I'm going to get happy or mad about an identity. Sometimes, like, the Eagles have an identity. Like, they're going to be smash mouth, mm-hmm. run the ball right down your throat. The Ravens are going to be high powered and, like, you know, you can't stop them. But that's synonymous with good.
Like, yeah. Yeah. It's like Lions. They have we're naming all the best offenses. You know, yeah. There's not like a.
Like what's
is there a middling offense?
For a bad team. Like, what's the Titans' offensive identity? Well, they don't have one. Well, they don't have one because they're bad. So, like, I think it's one of those buzzwords, kind of like with D'Amico and close. Like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you said they're close. What does that even mean? It means that they're close in these games, and people want to, like, read into it. Well, he's saying the offense is close. No, he's not. That's not what he said.
He's saying they lost by less than a touchdown.
He's saying that they were in all the games, which factually they were. No one wants to hear it when you're 0-3, and they're going to start, like, creating these narratives of what he means by it.
Mm-hmm.
It's football buzzwords kind of annoy me at times. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Julian, you're in the junkyard with Jeremy and Joe. What's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Real quick on the last topic we were talking about before the break. I don't know if y'all heard, Nick Caserio supposedly still has 4 years left on his contract. I thought it was going to be 2 years left. Now that he actually does have 4 years left, what are we going to do? Because this offensive line, he just cannot draft offensive line. At the end of the day, what does it come down to? Does it come down to, I get it, he's the one making the picks, but at the same time, we have scouting departments that are supposed to go out there and scout these players. Does it come down to the scouting department? Does it come down to maybe D'Amico not stepping in and saying, hey, like, we need to bring these guys in to scout some good O-linemen or something? Like, what's going on with that? That was one. And then the other, my first main question was going to be, if CJ plays terrible this year, what is it? It sucks to say this, but does it actually help out the Texans because we don't have to give him the next big contract? He's not going to be the next quarterback to, I guess, reset the market. Like, does that actually help us so we can go ahead and sign Will Anderson Jr. to, in my opinion, actually deserves, to get paid? Because the way CJ's been playing, I'm not saying CJ's not a good football player, but the way, you know, he's been playing, I get it, it's not all on him, but at the end of the day, hey, you haven't earned the money. And to me, I've been seeing Will play, and I'm like, hey, if anyone deserves the money, we should pay Will. That's just my thoughts. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the offensive line stuff that you're asking about there, Julian. It's all of the above. It's Nick Caserio for drafting them. It's the scouting part for, you know, giving the thumbs up on these guys for their evaluation. And then it's the coaching staff for not developing them. Because just because they're here doesn't mean they wouldn't have been better players elsewhere. You can't prove it or not, but it's just a collective problem that the Texans have had and that they've had since this regime took over. And that's why I didn't understand the Cole Popovich decision in the moment. It didn't make sense because all it really seemed like he did was talk bad about, you know, Chris Strauser. And that, like, that's really all it seems is like they didn't like the way things were being done, and he made it seem like he could do it better. And so far, and it's early, I guess, but it hasn't exactly been better in all parts. I mean, Ingram's been fine. Andrews has been fine. But the offensive line's not good. So it's just kind of an all-encompassing problem at this point.
I really wouldn't read too much into the amount of time Caserio has on his contract. Cal and Hanna have been willing to buy out of contracts. Mm-hmm. Like, they famously were paying, what, three coaches whenever they hired DeMeco? Like, you gave Cully a significant contract when you hired him.
Wasn't
you
four?
Fired him after a year. I want to say it was four. Lovie Smith obviously got a head coach contract whenever you hired him, 3-4 years. You bought him out. And then, you hired DeMeco, who wasn't cheap, because DeMeco was a commodity that coaching cycle. So I really wouldn't worry if about Caserio's length of his contract. If Cal and Hanna want Nick Caserio gone, Nick Caserio will be gone however many years he has on his contract. Yep. That's one thing that I will give credit to Cal for, and Hanna and whoever is involved, certainly not Kerry. They're willing to spend money.
And they're willing to eat dead money. I mean, even like the CJ Gardner-Johnson thing today is another example of that, where that's just money that they're going to be paying this guy. They converted his contract mostly to a signing bonus. That's why there's dead cap going into next season. And then obviously the dead cap from this year, and he's no longer on the team. They'll do it. Like, yeah, I think it was four. I think they were paying Bill O'Brien for the first year of DeMeco. So like, you had four coaches. So
yeah, that's right.
That's why I wouldn't be worried about like his length of contract. If they want to move on, they will move on. And that's not a concern, I think, in any way right now.
Is it the O-line, or is CJ holding the ball too long? I actually think it's the O-line. CJ's not, like, excellent at getting rid of it quickly, but there were plays this past week where it's like, okay, they're already in his lap. And I thought actually CJ was getting rid of the ball quick in this game, but still there's plays immediately in his lap. And, like, he's actually getting rid of it at times. I think he actually progressed a little bit. I think he might have had the best game he's had all season in week three, which sounds crazy.
Kind of sad, though.
I mean, there's signs there. You can pay both. Howie does it every offseason, but why would you want to pay them both? The Texans' identity is a head coach that is great, but is 100% focused on defense only and hoping he would score on the defensive side of the ball. Yeah, maybe. Like, that could be a weakness for sure. And, like, hey, maybe hire an experienced offensive coordinator, like that sort of thing.
Yeah, that feels like the when they have a new offensive coordinator next year, they're gonna have to follow the Sean McVay early years model, where Sean McVay was completely immersed on the offensive side of the ball, and then while the defense on the field, like, he wasn't even like watching the games. It was all Wade Phillips at that point with the LA Rams. I'm a little surprised that he went unproven Slowick, unproven Kaylee, but I think no matter what, when we're talking about this next year, like whenever they fired Nick Kaylee, and what do you want from the next Texans offensive coordinator? I think like my number one thing will be years of play calling experience. That is the most important thing to me.
I want a former head coach. I want someone, because I want everyone fired. Everyone should go. Sorry, Gerard. Sorry, Cole Popovich. Sorry to Bill Lazor. Everyone's got to go. Bring in a coach and let him build a staff. Like from the ground up. And a new play caller is not going to have that. So bring in someone that can bring in an entirely new crew with them. Like, it's to have the remnants of this entire staff from Bobby Slowick to just be with Nick Kaylee, it never made any logical sense. So just blow it all up. Get rid of everybody. Like, there should be no one left. Not McDaniels. Like no one should be left. It shouldn't be, a Doug Peterson with this group of people. You got to change all of it, or nothing really changes.
Yeah, I agree. Have y'all watched the All-22 yet on CJR, just guessing? Yeah, I did last night. I've watched every All-22 of CJ Stroud's career. 713-780-3776. Let's get to some real football. Let's get to some good football. Ravens-Lions yesterday, although it did trigger us, I think, watching these offenses. But Ravens-Lions yesterday, what we thought of this, what were our feelings during this, and also, are these two teams teams that can win it all, in your opinion? 713-780-3776. 780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Houston, the Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Did you know that Walmart has more than a half a billion items online? Find a huge selection online that you can't even find in stores at Walmart.com. Branham family's been ordering online from Walmart for quite some time now. It's wonderful for me. I don't have a ton of time. I don't like to mess with the crowd. I don't want to turn off the game. So we order online with Walmart. We get all the groceries we need without having to leave the house. It's great. I was mentioning this during the show yesterday that the wife texted me during the show, hey, you need anything from Walmart? I said, yeah, these are the things that I need, sweetie. And then I got all of those things by the time I was home. I ate turkey on the way to work today that I got from Walmart while I was sitting here doing a show. That's how great Walmart is. Yo, you're saying it's too expensive. Online grocery shopping costs more. That's not true at Walmart. Grocery prices are the same for deliveries. They are in store. And because it's Walmart, you know that those prices are already low. And what I love about it, they're fast. They're going to save you time. Use Express Delivery to get all the eligible things you need from Walmart. It's not only the groceries. You can get the groceries. You can get the home goods. You need a new pillow. They'll deliver a pillow for you. Prescriptions. Maybe you need some Xanax. They'll deliver that for you. Walmart's changing the game. So when it comes to feeding your family, keeping your sanity, hosting a tailgate, throwing a party, think Walmart for all those grocery needs. Start an order today at Walmart.com.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.